Turn to the book of Galatians. And look at chapter 6. Three verses and so I'm going to have to stand and read with me. But look down at verse 7. I want to read verses 7, 8, and 9 and follow along. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary of well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Father, we thank you for this day, for these people, this opportunity, and your word. We thank you for all the blessings you've given us and all you've done for us, and all the wisdom, Lord, that we have. We thank you for the revelation and the light that you brought into our community, church, family. Thank you, Lord, for all your blessings. Help me to preach with ease and power, and may the Holy Spirit take the words that you've given us and use them to bring honor and glory to your name in the lives of the living. I ask you these things in Jesus' name. You know, the thing of the sea, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. That is a universal truth. That works in everything where there's life. Whether it's your garden, or a farmer that's buying thousands of acres and planting millions of seeds, what you sow is what you reap. And that's in your life. You know, you can sow to your own body. Some of you can sow to your body physically, and you reap the benefits. Some of you sow to your mind, and you reap the benefits. What you sow, you're going to reap. You're not going to sow to the flesh and reap from the Spirit.
No.
You're not going to sow to the Spirit and reap of the flesh. And we got a problem. Where you are today, financially, mentally, spiritually, is because of what you've done 5, 10, 15 years ago.
Right.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
That would be sobering. It is sobering to me. I think of this, and this is one of my life verses. It just fits everything in every area where I go and what I do.
What you sow, you reap.
You can't sow bad seed and reap good benefits. You can't sow to the flesh and to sin and to fornication and to idolatry and lust and reap a happy life?
Amen.
Amen. Have you ever noticed how many rich people are unhappy? It's the truth. When we think, well, I'm unhappy because I'm poor. Yeah. Well, most of us live around that poor. They're not that many rich people. We're pretty rich as poor in this country, really, the world and all of history.
That's right.
But the idea of money is not the answer to everything.
Right.
Our success is the answer to everything. There are some of these people that become great stars. They're just mind-boggling in the way that people chase after them and love them. And they're miserable. They kill themselves. They kill themselves with drugs. They commit suicide. Then what happens? What are you going to do about where you are today? You talk about that? You got a problem today. You might be broke because you didn't do a very good job. You might have been fired. You may be having all sorts of physical problems because of your habits. It's a result of what you've done, what you've lived for, the purpose that you have in your life. your life? Are you happy? What kind of seeds are you sowing?
Yeah.
You know, it makes a difference. If I've had a lot of gardens. I was born on a farm. My daddy loved to be a farmer. He was a farmer until he was 38 years old. You know, you just don't sow bad seed and get a good result. It's just, isn't that the way of nature? And that goes with your mind, your education, your body, your work, your business, your thinking. What you put into this thing right here is going to come out. And so we have this tremendous statement. Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. Now, and in this verse, it says, God is not mocked. You realize that's the law of God? That's not gravity. It's the law of God. What you sow, you reap. So if you plant tomatoes, you're not going to get watermelon. It's not going to happen. And so in your life, have you thought about what you do every day, the way you get up, the way you think, the way you live, what you watch, what you read, where you go, who your friends are, you're sowing your life.
Yeah.
You ever thought about that? You ought to think about it.
Amen.
Because what you're doing, you're sowing seeds that are released down the road.
Amen.
There's a sowing season, there's a growing season, there's a reaping season. And God has put it everywhere, mentally, spiritually, financially. All of it. What you sow, you reap. That's not mine. Now think about this. If you could sow all your bad seed, now some of you young people, you listen to me. You think you can sow your bad seed and everything's going to turn out all right. That ain't going to happen. It's not going to happen. You're going to get what you sow. And in it, if it's a spiritual thing or if it's a physical thing, you can't put all those drugs in and smoke all those cigarettes and marijuana and all that stuff and live to be 105.
Right.
It's not going to happen. Make up your mind to think a little bit. You know, I really do think that the whole world is stupid. I honestly just cannot believe how they think some things. And I hope you're not one of them. I hope you have more sense. I hope you have enough sense just to believe this one verse. This great truth here, what you sow today, you will reap tomorrow. How do you want to reap what you're sowing? That's a pretty good thought. You really think you want to reap what you're sowing? You talk to people and you tell them to shut up, and then you expect that your kids want you to shut up. You cuss. I remember I took a kid to the class principal who's supposed to be the disciplinarian school because he just couldn't quit cussing. He just had to cuss out in class. And we got his mother up there. And she began to cuss him for everything he was up in. You just blankety blank blank. How about I told you you're not supposed to say blankety blank blank? She blankety blanked him and the vice principal and I just look at each other. Wow. Wow. You have to tell something about your house the way you act.
Amen.
We certainly can tell about the way you think by the result of your life today. Isn't that right?
Yes, amen.
It's amazing thing. God's not wrong. God has set up a system where you sow and you reap. And in every area of life, this is like gravity. It's not something that you're gonna just bypass. You can't just say, well, yeah, that's God's law, that's not gonna affect me. My poor daddy was trying to talk to a teenage son and said, put yourself in the averages, son. You're not that special. You put yourself in the averages. If the average people are going to have this happen to you, the average one catch up with you. And the same way with sowing and reaping, mentally and spiritually. You know what? You would do a whole lot of good if you sowed a whole lot of this into your mind. I'm thankful you come to church. I'm happy about this. I'm thankful you got a good Bible. I'm happy about that. But do you know it? Do you enjoy reading it? Have you spent enough time in it that you can go over it and over it and over it? You don't get this the first one through. That poor Professor Brown was talking about that. I've read the Bible one time. That's not enough. Not enough. I'm sure several times before, I heard a preacher one time say, if you really want to know a chapter of the Bible, read it 25 times a day for a week. 25 times Monday, 25 times this. You understand what I'm saying? I said, you know, that's some kind of an idea. I picked up one of the greatest chapters in the Bible, Romans chapter 8. And I read it 25 times a day, every day for a week. By Wednesday, I had three sermon outlines already in the book, so I'll show you. You get it when he goes out over and over again. You realize how much stuff just passes through your mind. It just goes, zoop, zoop. Got some teachers in here. I bet you they'll tell you, you got to tell a kid something 30 times in the morning to remember it. They don't get it just one time. You just get up in front and say, oh, I've got this great truth, and just tell it to them. It's gone. By the time they leave that classroom, by the time that afternoon, by the time they catch a ball or throw a ball or ride a bicycle or eat supper or go get some ice cream, it's done, gone. You need to sow the Bible into your mind so it changes your thinking. It's not enough to know that what God says is right. You need to know what God says. You need to think it through. How does it fit in your life? What kind of seeds are you sowing? You've been sowing all this week. Any of them spiritual? Amen. Any of them the Word of God? Any of them a way to testify or try to win somebody to Christ? Any of them for self-improvement that I'd be better if I didn't say these cuss words? When I learned Spanish, I went into the Spanish school, and the only thing I know how to do is cuss. I could cuss in Spanish, I understood what I was saying. I could be cussed out, and I knew what they were saying to me. That's all I knew besides seeing those. No one's real good in any language. I heard, this is a person that works for the state of Texas. Tell somebody that they could not tell one the child they had in their home the word no. That was abuse. Somebody's stupid. Somebody doesn't have a brain in their head. One of the first things I learned, I taught my dog when I got him 6 years ago, no. One of the first things I taught all five of my children was no. And they ought to be obedient enough to you, no matter what they understand, no matter what they think. When they hear that word, no, they stop what they're doing right then and there. And if you don't have them there, get them there while they're small. Little babies come out of the womb knowing how to suck, knowing how to cry, knowing how to poop. That's all they know. The rest of what they are is what you give them. Yeah. What you sow, you're going to reap. I told you about this fellow one time. I was only on one jury in my life, and it was a long, long jury. It was a murder trial. These two young men, thugs, one an Anglo, one Hispanic, they got drunk. They went out in their pickup and they saw this female jogger. She was in the Air Force out here in San Antonio. She's running along the road and they drove up beside her with the pickup and hit her in the head with a club. Threw her in the back of it. Took her out and raped her and murdered her. And they even kept the knife that they stabbed her with her blood and hair on it. And went back and showed it to friends. We only tried this. We tried the Hispanic one here. Anglo had already been sentenced to life in prison. His mother got up for the defense. And she showed how good a boy this boy was. He's just a wonderful kid. She just loved him, and she just was blessed by him, and you know what she did. Well, when the prosecution got back up, they answered that to somebody from the police department. That same mother had called 9/11 21 times on that same boy. It sort of wiped out her testimony, didn't it? Let me tell you something. There are tragedies where you don't expect it and you didn't find it, and it's not your fault. And there are miracles where you don't deserve it. You didn't plan it, you didn't work, you didn't sow right, but it came out wonderful. Two different things like that. But the great majority of the time, you're reaping what you sow.
Amen.
That woman didn't have control of that boy, never had control of that boy. When I was a teenager, I was bigger than my mother. One time she told me, she said, "You lay across that bed and put your hands up." "Yes, ma'am." I laid across the bed and she whipped my body. I was big enough to withstand my mother, but I would never have thought I'd try. Because I had a daddy bigger than her. And I did not disrespect my mother or my father. They disciplined me. They spoiled me right, honestly. I understand. Do you know something? They taught me to respect. My father wasn't worried so much about grades. He was worried about character. He was worried about the way I thought. He was worried about what I was going to do in certain situations. What you sow, you reap. I am thankful that I have parents that sowed something into me. If you do not teach your child, you get him as a little baby. He weighs 8 or 9, 7, 8 or 9 pounds, maybe some big ones are 12 or something like that. They're still small enough for you to control. You're going to teach them what to say. If they cuss all the time, they probably heard it from you.
Yeah.
Amen.
You're the biggest influence on your child that he'll ever have. You think about this. You are the biggest, strongest, most powerful influence on that child he'll ever be.
What kind of job are you going to do? Well, you're sober.
Sooner or later, that teenage boy is going to be big enough that he can be rid of us if you haven't got him under control. What you sow, you reap. What you sow, you reap. It's a law. It's gravity. Everything that has life, this applies to. I've seen horses that could just dance and prance and back up and rear up and do all that. And nothing but a guy over here with a little whistle. I've seen dogs take a whole herd, cut certain ones out of the herd, take the rest of them, put them over here. And these owners sitting over on the side with a little whistle, I can't even hear. Whip, 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 whip. That dog knows what he's doing. Isn't that beautiful? That ought to be your children. That ought to be your children. They ought to know what you want. And they ought to be able to respond to what you tell them. If not, let me tell you what, you're going to pay for it.
Amen.
You're going to pay for it. What you sow, you reap. I'm hoping for a miracle for some of you. You don't deserve it because you haven't sowed right. But I'm hoping some of the disasters that ought to come your way don't come.
Amen.
And though you didn't give your son or your daughter the kind of training they should have had and the kind of love they should have had, that they turn out wonderful. But that's not the average. Put yourself in the averages. The average is going to catch up with you. One of these days, what you sow is going to reap. Our God is mighty. God's going to be mocked? I don't think God's going to be mocked. I don't think anybody's going to have the right to walk up and point their finger at God's face and say, it's all your fault. No, he said, I put you down there and I gave you these things. Now, one of the greatest examples of sowing and reaping in the Bible is the person of Jacob. Look if you will at Genesis 32. Jacob is a scheming scoundrel. But he has one thing going for him. He's spiritual. I know people like that. You know something? He was the second son. But he was loved by his mother. Other son, Esau, was loved by his dad. Jacob could cook you a meal. I mean, I can't cook, guys. I do good to not burn everything in the microwave. If I don't get specially prepared meals that I just hook up, I starve. He's got a nut curl. One day, old Esau, who was the hunter, the fisherman, the trapper, the woodsman, comes down and says, man, I've had my worst time of hunting ever. I'm ready to die. Ooh, what you got cooking there, Jacob? I got meat and cornbread. No, I'm not. But that's the way it would be. I love that. He said, well, I like some of your food, but give me your birthright for it. Well, what good is birthright going to do me? I'm half dead anyway. Yeah, okay. So for a mess of beans or vegetables or whatever, Esau sold his birthright. Yeah. Sort of a dirty trick. Sort of a dirty thing to demand a man's birthright before you give him food and he's your own twin brother. But he did. So he maybe said he cheated in a sense. Maybe not. Maybe Esau threw it away. Didn't value it. Therefore, he could get rid of it. Well, come time, they got an old father. And he said, well, it's time for me to do the blessing. I'm going to bless my boys. I'm going to prophesy over them, and my words are going to have power. I don't understand all that. I don't know that it has anything to do with today. I don't know that my words over my children have that much power as what Jacob and Abraham and some of these others did. But he said, Esau, I'm going to bless you. You're my firstborn. You're going to get the best blessing of the firstborn. Go get me some venison. How many in here like venison better than me? There's a bunch of you. Yeah. Not me. I like sirloin steak. But I've killed my deer, I've had my venison, and a friend of mine lent me his gun, one of my cousins lent me his gun one time, and all wants the backstrap. That's the best part of me. At any rate, lost my point. Shouldn't have told that to you first. Have a blessing. Thank you. And so Esau goes out to get the venison. Goes out to kill the deer. But you know, some of you hunters, some days you see deer, some days you don't see deer. Some days you hit them, and they run off, and you never get them, and some days you drop them right in their own tracks right there. So he went out, and he didn't get back real soon. Now, Jacob had a mother that was probably 25 years younger than her husband, and she loved Jacob. And she hears, and she says, Dad, Jacob, come here. Go get me a kid of the goats. By the way, goats and deer are somewhat the same. And she said, I'll make beautiful venison for your daddy. And you get the blessing. He's getting ready to bless. I want you to get the blessing. He said, Mom, that's deceiving. We'll all get in trouble. She said, let it all come on me, son. I'll take all your problems. You just do what I tell you to do. He's a good little mama boy. He does what he's told him. He goes in. Have you ever thought about it? She takes the skin off of that goat. Have you ever touched goat hair? That's what she put on his hand. so that he would be like his brother Esau. They were not identical twins. I taught identical twins, and boy, the first few years, you can't tell them apart. They get really foolish to get up to teenagers. They have a lot of fun with that. Identical twins. These boys were not identical twins. Here's this. What do you think Esau was like? He was big. He was rough. He was hairy. He was manly. You don't want to mess with Esau. He's one of those guys that you walk with you down the alley. When you got a dark alley and you're a little afraid to walk out, you want Esau with you. You wouldn't necessarily want Jacob, but you want Esau. Esau's out there hunting and he's getting the venison and he's killing it and fixing it and whatever. Rebecca's already got it done, man. She's got that skill to go through this stuff, and she's got the meat made just right, and she's got it to feed him, and she's taking it off and put it on his arm. Because Jacob was not a hairy man. I'm not a hairy man. But Esau was a hairy man. That's a pretty hairy man. I don't think I've seen him like that. Have you? Boy, that is a hairy man. Whenever a goat skin would be the thing. He changed the scene. And he went in and he deceived. And Isaac said, you got the voice of Jacob, but you got the arms of Esau and the smell of Esau. Okay, I give you the blessing. And he gives him the blessing, and the Bible says that blessing was going to stick. Now, maybe. Old Esau comes back in, he's hunted, he's sweated, he's done everything, he's cooked, he's got all his venison ready, and takes it into his father. And his dad says, what's going on? And they find out that Jacob has deceived his father. Well, I'm an Esau man. Like I said, you don't want to mess with Esau. Esau said, I'm going to kill him. I'm going to kill him. I'll wait till my father dies. I'm not going to hurt my father by killing him while he's still alive. But when he dies, I'm going to kill him. And his mother says, we got to get you out of here. So she goes over and gets a hold of Isaac and says, you know what? If Jacob marries some of these girls from around here, it's just really going to distress me. Let's send him home to my brother. Let him get a wife down there. And he does. He sold unrighteousness. He sold selfishness. He sold covetousness. And he ran. He was gone for over 20 years. Still the same kind of man. When he got down to Laban, he got down to a fellow just like him. Laban and Jacob, they're a match pair, man. They want to cheat one another, they want to skin one another, they want to lie to one another, they want to flip it to the gentry, they want to put the little fine print in the contracts and stuff like that. He said he's changed my wages 10 times. They're working back and forth, and so he said, you know, I really want that beautiful Rachel. Oh, and she looks so good to me. Wow! I don't have any money. I'll work for you for 7 years, okay? You work for 7 years, then did you give me less? He's got somebody just like me. You reckon he's reaping a little or what he's part of his home? He wakes up the next morning, probably hadn't drunk when they got him married, and he didn't know who he was with. Next morning, it's Leah, it's not Rachel. Now, I don't know what tenderized means. I have no idea. But it says that Leah was tenderized. And it must be bad. I don't think that's good. It must be bad. I don't know whether she was cross-eyed or I don't know what exactly was her problem, but he didn't get the girl he thought he was getting. And he's upset about it. He said, well, I'll give her wedding week, and then I'll let you have Rachel. And so she got her week, and then he married Rachel too, and they had 2 months. Then he decides, well, I'll have to work 7 more years for Leah. And then he worked 6 years. And by the time the 6 years come around, he has most of the wealth of Leah. And the boys, Laban's sons, They're saying, man, sorry, Jacob, he's stolen all the wealth of my dad. Look what he's got. You know what he did? He ran again. Why are they after him? Because he's a crook. Because he's a shyster. Because he's somebody that wants his way, and he doesn't mind hurting you if he can hurt you. He decides, I better run again. And he does run. He runs 3 days before his father-in-law knows he's left. He packed up that herd of kids and all the wealth he could get and all the gold he could get, and he took off running. That was Jacob's answer. So he sends a gift to his brother Esau. Sends him a lot of cattle and stuff. Preparing to meet him. He's got to go back. He's got to meet him now. He's been away 20 years, but good night. Nothing's been done about this other thing. And then he starts to pray. Look at chapter 32, verse 9. Somebody right now, the Holy Spirit's convicted you of some sowing you've been doing. Some thinking that you've been doing. Some things that is going to lead you wrong. Well, Jacob ran for Esau. Now he's running for Laban. And he's run out of himself. His troubles had brought him to God. He doesn't have any place to go but God. He said in verse 9, look at 32:9. Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham, and God of my father Isaac, the Lord which sent unto me, return unto thy country and to thy kindred, and I will deal well with thee. I notice this verse. You ought to pray like this.
Yes.
I am not worthy of the least of all the mercy and of all the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant. With my staff I passed over this Jordan, now I'm become too bad. Deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him. I think he did right to fear him. Esau was not a man you ought to cheat and then meet him out in the dark alley somewhere. Esau was one tough dude. And Jacob was no match for him. But you know what he did? He ran from Esau, and then he ran from Laban. And now that he's not caught up, and he's got the troubles that brought him to God. I know a lot of people like that. Troubles brought them to God. As long as they're making money, as long as they're spending, as long as they're drinking, as long as they're partying, they're not going to repent. But all of a sudden, something happens. They get caught. They go to jail. I know some preachers. They were rough customers. Some of them been in prison. And you don't mess with them in a lot of ways. They're not Mr. Nice or Mr. Fine. They're tough guys. What's happened, though? They've been converted. They've come to God. They've been saved. They've been forgiven. And now they're preaching the gospel. They're still pretty tough fellows. Here he is. His troubles have drawn him to God. You know what? Reaping time's coming. There's a harvest time and there's a planting time. There's a working time. Bless your heart. Reaping time is coming. When you plant seeds, they come up as when God's not mocked. Now when Laban come up and run up after him, God intervened. In the night, he spoke to Laban. He told him, don't you touch this man. He's special to me. And so a lot of the air went out of Laban's life. God intervened, and he stopped Laban. Now Laban and him made an agreement. They sat down and they set up a bunch of rocks. They won't go to hurt each other past this pile of rocks or whatever. And they made a covenant with each other. Now then he turns around, and he comes out, and he's got Laban taken care of. But he's meeting Esau. You know what Esau's doing? Come to visit him with 400 bucks. Can you get 400 people to go anywhere with you? You get 400 people that I'll take a week, 2 weeks journey, 3 weeks journey, to go with you and saddle my horse and sleep out. And they didn't have hotels and motels. They didn't have corner stores, much less great state places. 400 men are riding with Esau. Ooh, that doesn't sit well with Jacob. He said, "Oh Lord, protect me from my brother. Oh Lord, would you help me? I'm in trouble now. Lord! Lord, I'm not worthy of all the mercy you have already given me. I'm not worthy."
Amen.
"I'm not worthy of all the truth that you've taught me." You have a lot of truth. I know some of you don't realize just how much truth you have, but in comparison to millions and millions around the world, you have great truth. Great knowledge. And so, he divides his family up. His least like wife, he had four wives now. His least like wife and her sons on herd cattle near the front. And then his second least wife, and they got a herd. And then Leah with her children, and they got a herd. And then Rachel and her boy, and they got a herd. And then he drove across the brook. He sends them. And he comes back over here and he begins to pray. And the Bible says, wrestle a man with his own God came down, his messenger in the form of a man, and they physically wrestled. You ever wrestle in prayer? You ever prayed so hard that you were in a sweat? Have you ever prayed so hard that you were frustrated? You ever prayed so hard it was actually affecting you? That's what it was here. Here's this schemer, this selfish, self-centered person, this deceiver, this heel catcher. And he gets on his face before God. And he prays. And the angel tells him, "Let me go to daybreak. That's all I'm praying." You ever been through that? Any of you have? 5 or 10 minute prayer, that's a long one. Old Jacob been praying all night. He's been wrestling with God all night. Wrestling and breaking the day. The angel took part of Jacob's leg and made it wither up. Any of you know anything about wrestling? I'm not talking about Duke Camuco putting the shove on somebody, throwing them out of the thing, you know. I'm not talking about that professional wrestling. I'm talking about real Greco-Roman wrestling. You better have your legs. When he put that leg out of joint, Jacob lost. And he said, "Let me go. The day breaketh." And Jacob makes a statement, "I will not let thee go except thou bless me."
Hey.
You ever try to hang on to prayer like that? You might get an answer if you got a hold of them. Maybe if God got a hold of your heart and you had such a compassion, you had such a passion for what you were praying about, "I will not let thee go. I will not let thee go. I can't let you go. I have to win." Change it. You know what? God changed his name.
Yeah.
Jacob means heel catcher, supplanter, sort of like deceiver also. Israel is a prince of God, the power of God, the power of men. This is where it starts. Troubles, they can be one of the greatest blessings you can have. Because they drive you to God. They drive you to God.
Yep.
And some people run, some people lie and cheat, some people do all sorts of things when they get in trouble. Let me tell you something. Jacob prayed. He done everything he could do. He had all the preparation. It wasn't like he didn't prepare. He prepared everything right. He got all his family separated. Well, if he kills these, well, maybe these will get loose. He's given great gifts to his brother trying to appease him. Run, hide, try shortcuts. I don't know what your way is. Then Jacob got his name changed to Israel. And from this time on, he's got power with God and with men. Not exactly the same person he'd been before, he'll never be again. God may have to put you in a vice. God may have to disappoint you, break you, may have to take away your business, may have to take away your pleasure, may have to take away your health before you call upon him. And God will do it. You think God won't? Well, God will do it. Reaping time is coming, and reaping time means you call on God. You pray. You confess. You repent. And you praise. Troubles come your way. Get on your knees. Get on your knees and say, God, help me. I've got a big brother coming, and oh, it's going to be rough. I fear him. He was right to fear him. He sown his seeds. 20 years one place, 20 years another place. Good night. This guy had sown so many seeds of distrust and selfishness and covetousness. He had it coming. He deserved it. Wouldn't you think so? I think so. I think Jacob deserved anything he would have gotten. But he was spiritual. But he called on God. But he repented. You know what God did? Changing your mind. Some of you never repented. You better repent. You better change your mind about what you're doing. You better change your mind about the seed you're sowing. You better change your mind about the way you're living. You better change your mind and call on the God of heaven and repent of your sin. Ask Him to forgive you. Ask Him to change it. He might change your name. He just might change your name, your life, your future. Every one of us is an individual before God. There are no two of us alike. We don't have the same problems and we don't have the same opportunities. Every life is an individual life before God. You go to God. Quit thinking you're so smart you know what you're doing. You don't. Most of the world does not know what they're doing, and they're not doing right, and they're paying for it. Listen to the news every day. Look around at some friends you've known. Somebody needs to repent. Somebody needs to repent. Well, there's a beautiful verse in Isaiah 55, 6 that speaks of the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he's near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. He will have mercy on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Let me tell you what, you got a place to go. It doesn't mean that you're not going to have the troubles that you've got. It doesn't mean he's going to deliver you from everything that's coming your way. He's not going to all the time. By a miracle, he delivered Jacob. And by a miracle, he's delivered me. And some of you sitting in this room could give a testimony. By a miracle, God has delivered me.
Amen.
I didn't deserve it. I wasn't seeking it. I was foolish in the decisions I made. I did not seek God. I did not seek His will. And yet, God had mercy.
Amen.
Thank God for that.
Amen.
Romans 10:13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's a great invitation. That's one of some of the greatest words I ever heard in my life. I wrote my name. I'm a little Kim K. There's not another one on the face of the earth. Never has been. Every one of us is different. We're an individual creation by God. God has moved on you. You say, well, I'm not as pretty as somebody. Well, you weren't supposed to be. Well, I'm not as strong as him. Well, I'm not as tall as him. Well, I'm not as whatever. You're you. You really can't compare yourself too much to anybody else. You're you. God created you. And God wants to do a work in asking to change your soul. Ask Him to have mercy in your being. Ask Him to bring change into your life. I'm not talking about a one-day revival. I'm talking about change in your life.
Amen.
Quit sowing bad seed. Some of you have been sowing bad seed for 20 years, and you're still sowing it, and you're not even listening to me today. Shame on you. Look at shame. Reading that is coming. And I don't care who you are. God is not all. Whatsoever man sows, that shall he also
reap.
That's right. Let's stand. Say what we're doing and what we're doing. What fruit will come out of your bag? What fruit will come out of your bag? If you don't repent, reaping time is coming. You're not saved. You need to come and call upon Jesus Christ and ask Him to forgive you and bring you to Christian, if you are saved, but you know you're not ready.